This is Breakfast with Josh Zepps on ABC Radio Sydney.
What are we going to do with Oxford Street? Do you remember the time where it used to be a fun and safe place to go? Where visitors to Sydney would say, oh, go to Oxford Street, have a stroll around, go out, nightlife's great. Is it like that anymore? It may be again. There's a development application that's just been lodged for three tranches of Oxford Street addresses. This is on the eastern side of the street. Is this a badly needed tonic? And I'd love to know from you what you want out of that part of Sydney. We're basically talking about the stretch of Oxford Street that's closest to the city, if you think about from Hyde Park sort of up to Taylor Square. What's there? What could be there? What should be there? Stefan Urie is the president of Darlinghurst Business Partnership. That's the group that's been engaged in revitalising the area for a long time. G'day, Stefan.
Hey, Josh. How are you going?
I'm terrific. What's your initial reaction to these development applications?
Look, we're supportive. We're disappointed that the original plan sort of got put on hold for understandable but unpleasant reasons. They originally wanted to go for more height, but there's a planning review on Oxford Street at the moment, and this council is very, let's say, hamstrung by its own rules. We've known for years that something's needed to happen on Oxford Street, and this development was a perfect opportunity. But there's a 14-story building two blocks down, and yet these guys have been limited to going for this very minor increase in height, which would have added more people, more commercial space to the street, which would have brought more people to the street.
Is the emphasis on commercial space, or is the emphasis on hospitality?
Look, the council have tried multiple things and nothing's really worked. And the main reason for that is, the government built a 6-lane traffic sewer through the middle of our suburb. Their fallback position now is to try and put as much commercial in as possible. I have a record store up there and they just knocked our building down and we had to move. And the developer originally went for 6-story residential and council knocked them back and they went for retail and commercial. So, and by commercial, we mean, retail, hospitality, commercial, just any kind of sort of business activity.
Right, I see. Yeah, rather than residential.
Yeah.
So they've submitted this development application. Who's doing the submitting? They want a $200 million mixed-use precinct. And as I mentioned, they've bought these three low-rise heritage leasehold properties. This is basically on, if you're at Hyde Park and you're heading east up Oxford Street, this is the left-hand side of the road, right?
Yeah, from what they call Oxford Square, so which is Riley Street up to pretty much up to Taylor Square. They're the old South Sydney Council office buildings. Council buildings that they became useless when the council got amalgamated just before Clover came in. They've been a thorn in everyone's side for a long time. I mean, a 250-kilogram keystone fell off it a few years ago, straight through an awning, and we're almost the one positive effect of the lockouts was that no one was standing under it when it fell.
yeah, that's right.
If I could pick you up on the one thing that you said about Oxford Street and surrounds. It needs help, and it's at the low ebb of a cycle, and it's been depressed by the lockouts and by the traffic situation. But there's still actually a lot of really great stuff up there. If you look at what happened during the lockouts, we didn't lose a venue. I mean, the only venue we lost was Q Bar, but it was about to fall through the floor anyway because of all of the foam parties. So, and there's a lot of really good businesses up there as well. And it's safe. Like no one got punched to death up where we were. There's as a partnership, we've always been focusing on what's still actually going on. But yeah, look, there are still a lot of empty properties.
It's not a desolate wasteland. I'm just comparing it to what it was when I was in my teens, where it was a really exciting place to go out. And I'm just speaking from personal experience that there just seemed to be a lot of, just drunk guys sort of just staggering around on a Saturday night. maybe that was the case. Maybe I thought it was exciting when I was 17. But it
look, there's certainly an element of that. You look back on what was going on. I mean, I live in Potts Point, and you know, compared to Potts Point before COVID, you know, it was getting to the point where friends of mine were in Newtown lining up for places, and after half an hour they go, bugger this, we're going back to Darlinghurst because there's no lines, you know. So there is an opportunity, and there are these natural cycles in, you know, in business and in areas. But as I said, we got thwarted. This road, the road is the biggest problem. I mean, it's six lanes, there's clearways, there's no median strip.
Yeah.
It's you can't even hear yourself think during the day. But and look, there's an Oxford Street planning review on at the moment as well. Council is actually trying to change the planning laws, ironically, to allow a bigger development like they wanted to do to actually happen. But because the planning review is on, council, as I said, hamstrung by its own rules, won't even look at, you know, making an exception for something that is clearly, you know, in the benefit of the whole area.
We're speaking about the possible redevelopment of Oxford Street, perhaps some would say inevitable redevelopment of Oxford Street, with Stefan Jury, who's the president of the Darlinghurst Business Partnership, because there's a development application for a $200 million revamp of basically the left-hand side of Oxford Street as you're heading up from Hyde Park towards Taylor Square. On the text line, Kane in Marrickville, Stefan says, let's make Oxford Street great again, a uniquely queer space that leads the world in LGBT culture. It must be hard to be a gay youth now compared to 20 years ago. Bars and clubs don't seem like the fun they did back in the 90s. Well, maybe I'm just too old now. Let's also see a queer art gallery or history museum space built, affordable office space on Oxford Street, a place where the gay community can meet and find what they need in a one-stop shop, so to speak. Is that version of Oxford Street one of the past?
Look, the thing that's happened is that there's, I mean, obviously, you know, back in the original, you know, in the 70s when Mardi Gras was a resistance movement and a reaction to oppression against the LGBTI community, it was very much a gay space. I mean, that in a sense, and I'm not saying in a complete sense, but in a sense, that battle was won. Like, gay people have so many more rights and are so accepted. And also for younger people, you know, it's almost in some, and I'm not saying, like, obviously in the country, not, but in our area, like, and in the city, in a lot of places, young people don't even identify with their sexuality anymore. So there's this sort of LGBTI history and heart and soul and history of, I guess, of you know, pushing back and of independence and of freedom of expression, and that still draws people to the area whether or not they're gay or independent of their sexuality, and that is very much still a core. But what you did is you also had, like, the older generation, a lot of them have moved away and bought houses and, you know, had families, and so a bit of a void was left because that sort of it dissipated through the city, which is a fantastic thing. But there's space there. I mean, there's a lot of empty properties. There's a lot of landlords just sitting on empty tenancies, and for multiple reasons. I mean, you know, properties overpriced. They can't afford to drop their rent. They don't want to drop their rent. And that would be, I mean, if we could unlock some of those properties and get some people in, that would be a fantastic place for young creatives and startup businesses. And to give council credit, they've had a creative space program on the street, but it's, you know, they were limited to three buildings. They've now made it part of the development process. But, you know, what Ash Morgan wanted to do was to put four stories on top. And part of that sweetener to try and get that through, they were going to make a Pride Museum and a community, and, you know, all this extra community space, and that we've lost that opportunity, and that opportunity is not going to come up again for another decade now.
Right. Yeah, I've got a lot of texts about that, saying that, you know, one person says, Josh, the city end of Oxford Street has a rich LGBTQI+ history. I'd love to see that continued as a safe place for our community, perhaps a museum telling the history of LGBTQI Australia, both the good and the bad, would be something wonderful. So, yeah, lots of chiming in about this, and we'll keep an eye on it. Thanks for your insights, Stefan.
If I could add one more thing, it really is, like, anyone who gets involved in Oxford Street, any developers, any people we as a partnership have sort of come across, that, you know, it's always an LGBTI person who's doing that, who's working there. So even companies who come to Oxford Street know that they have to respect that history and they have to respect that culture. So that is a very positive sign for the future of the area.
This is Breakfast with Josh Zepps on ABC Radio Sydney.